incredible story. And it's a way that grace can end up being a huge help to everybody, like going through this horrible stuff.
I agree 100%.
I'm really glad that she's, you know, one more person free of this place. That's great.
Yeah.
But in the time, right? And in the process of being willing to go through that stuff, she's been an inspiration and still is, and is present all the time. So what I'm wondering, not to keep you too late beyond what you wanted, is for the small group that's really tuned into these things, why don't you talk about your decision to pursue this and what that involved? Because a lot of people think that to be spiritual, you know, I agree that we have to learn to love everybody, because when you get to that point, it affects the expansion of your own consciousness and connection to who you really are. But at the same time as not hating, you know, so-called bad people or anything, there are things that you have to do, similar to your security system in the back corner, you know, of self-defense. It doesn't mean to hate people. It just means, look, you've got part of your responsibility to help this not happen to people in the future.
Yeah.
So what kind of decision process did you go through to see what you had to do after Grace died?
Yeah. So what happened was God took me through quite a process. So, I mean, before Grace died, as I already referenced, I was diagnosed with heart disease. That was 4 years ago. My son Travis committed suicide 3 years ago. Then Grace died. And then, so Grace died on October 13th. On October 16th, I almost died. And God took me through all of these things. So I would say that was the first time in my life that I was truly broken.
Sometime, you know, we could do a whole other discussion on what happened to Travis. I mean, that's a huge issue in itself.
It is a huge issue. And I've learned a lot from that situation too, but I didn't learn enough yet. So, I mean, for God to use people, he's got to break them.
And apparently, unfortunately, that's the way we learn stuff as humans, right?
It is. And, you know, I'm a self-made man. And so, you know, so that means I'm a proud man.
Right.
And so you can't use somebody until they're humble. He gives grace to the humble. And ultimately,
yeah,
this is something I haven't said on the air, but I'll just, you know, you're wanting this to a private group. So Grace's funeral, I think, was on the 29th of October. And that was the best day of my life. And it's because I was, the first day I could say I was totally broken. I did a sermon in front of 400 people that day, and I've never spoken in front of a group like that before.
Wow.
But he gave me the words, and yeah, I just did, you know, not the literal words, but I mean, there was things that were important to talk about. And I talked for 45 minutes.
Wow.
And I was down, I was on oxygen. I was down to 149 pounds. I was pretty weak. But I felt that I had to do this. And ultimately, then we got the doctor who helped us encouraged me to get the records. And so I have 50 miracles documented in this whole process. One of them is getting the records, how we got the records. And hard to grasp. I mean, ultimately, we get the records on the 3rd of November. We start going through everything. Remember, we already knew there was some shenanigans because this nurse came alongside my wife and said, me and several nurses don't think Grace should have died today. So we thought there was some shenanigans, but then by November 8th, we knew that they killed her.
Yeah.
But, you know, not realizing this is all part of a whole agenda. I mean, I had no clue about Agenda 21, Milgram Obedience Experiment. I knew none of that stuff.
So
I mean,
the last year for you, you've learned really fast.
Oh my gosh.
You're talking about a massive understanding change.
Oh, I mean, yes, it's completely different. I knew none of that. I wasn't educated in that. I mean, I own a business. I spent my life running my business.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, you know, my skill set was in leadership. I mean, I know how to lead men. I mean, that's what my skill is.
Just out of curiosity, what business were you doing?
I own a business right now called the Pond People. It's a pond management company.
Okay, good.
And so, I mean, that's what I do. And, you know, I had thought my purpose on this earth was to have things financially secure for Grace when my wife Cindy and I left, so that everything would be taken care of for her. So, I mean, that was my mission. So, I mean, I'm woken up to all kinds of things at this point. Ultimately, though, so God breaks me in the process of being broken. I mean, he knew I'm going to go out and speak. You know, he knew this. So in order to do that, he had to give me an attitude of forgiveness. And this is very significant. A few people have asked about this because, you know, they ask, how could you forgive the doctor and nurse? And the answer is, you can't. I can't forgive them. No human being can forgive a person who has killed their daughter. But God gave me a spirit of forgiveness. So he did it all. I never even asked him to help me.
It could be done through you, right?
Well, he's doing it through me, exactly. So, I mean, I really just want them to repent so they don't spend eternity in hell. I mean, you know, it's not that I'm actively wanting to hug them or something. That's not the point. But
no. Humility. Which was incredible.
Well, you had to have it in order to tell this story. Otherwise, it's just an angry dad screaming at the
exactly.
television. Right?
And then you're in the same hatred energy as the whole problem starts
correct.
With. Right?
So I can only say that, you know, that is why Christ came, is to do the things we can't do. And so, I mean, nobody can do that. So, I mean, he did it without me even asking. Right. So, you know, so then I thought, my responsibility is now I have all this information. I've got to share it with the hospital. And so we didn't go public with this story because we had a sense that, I mean, this could be big. We don't know. We had no idea what's going on at that point. But I just thought, we can't do anything unless we meet with the hospital, because you have a responsibility to talk with the person who committed the offense against you before you start going public with it. And so we did not go public until December 2nd, because December 2nd was the day we received an email from the hospital saying they're not going to meet with us. Okay. And so then on December 2nd, I did four things on that day. I sent a couple paragraphs to Newsmax, a couple paragraphs to Fox. And I filed a complaint against the doctor with the state agency that regulates doctors, and a complaint against the hospital with the state agency that regulates hospitals. Ultimately, yeah. The result of those two complaints are on Grace's website. And when we got those results is when the light bulb finally went on. So I had already connected the dots with the money. But then I realized they're all in on it, because both got a clean bill of health. So, I mean, you can tell I have an overabundance of research, and we gave it all to them. And they did investigations and said both the doctor and the hospital did no wrong. And that's when I realized that they're all in on it. Well, then, you know, so that happened in January. Newsmax called a week after I sent the little script and asked if I wanted to be on national television. And I said, well, you know, are you comfortable? I said, no, I'm not comfortable. I mean, who would be comfortable? I don't have any experience with that. But I said, I think this story is more important than my own personal comfort. Right. And so then they set it up. They set up the interview. And I mean, that was intense, because they don't give you the questions or anything ahead of time.
Yeah.
And what made it, you know, I wear one of these things to track me now, since I have heart disease, you know, so sure. it's going to tell me if I have a heart attack, right? So, you know, I'm watching this thing, and, you know, and the guy gets on, like your Doug Diamond comes on before I'm getting on with the, you know, right, the celebrity. Right. And he says, well, you got to move back 3 feet away from your laptop because your head's too big in the laptop. So I had all my talking points taped around the outside of the laptop.
Oh, you couldn't read them anymore.
Now I can't see anything. You know, this thing's starting to smoke because it's,
The stress is increasing.
My heart rate is,
right.
And it came across, God did it again. He came through again. And it came across such that I could use that little 7-minute clip. And then things started rolling. And now I've been on 150 programs.
Wow. So it was short, but it was important.
It was an important piece of the puzzle. So I think that's what you wanted. You wanted to kind of have the backdrop as to how we got.
Yeah. And how you decided to...
So that's how we decided. I mean, it was an act of obedience, and by having, you know, I don't want you to get the impression that I've got obedience down, you know, so I used, you know, obedience when, you know, we chose to have grace, obedience by having the hospital, making sure that the hospital would meet with us first, because that's your obligation. And we've had a couple more opportunities that I thought were necessary. But then when we decided to go all in, was this stuff was rolling, and we just, you know, you start wondering, is this what we're supposed to do or not?
That's right.
Then Jan Markell, if you're not familiar with her, she's on the radio every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. She's got 875 stations syndicated. Very, very popular. Anyway, yeah. She was, she had two people on that were both wise into this. You know, this is why we're still learning. Mm-hmm. And, so my wife, she had it on in the kitchen. She said, come in and listen to this. This is talking about the same thing like Grace went through. And so I start listening. And then Jan says, well, before we go to break, I want to play this clip from a dad who lost a Down syndrome girl. And so Cindy and I are looking at each other and thinking, is this us? And then all of a sudden she plays the whole Newsmax clip.
Wow.
And, you know, that was enough. So then we thought, okay, hey, we believe God's calling us to.
Yeah. In case you didn't know clearly enough.
You're right. So that's when we jumped in with both feet.
Wow. How great. Wow. It's an inspiring story. And seems like it's just getting started.
It does seem like that.
A lot of good is going to come from it. So,
at a point, you know, I thought, you know, we had a request for one day. I think we had 19 requests for interviews, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, next week we're going to be on Tucker Carlson. And then, you know, I've learned so much. I realized, it isn't that we might not get on Tucker Carlson, but the odds are stacked against that because they're also bought.
Yeah, that's right. The bosses would decide whether to allow it.
Yeah, that's right. This story is too, it pushes too many buttons to get it.
Yeah, the implications of it are incredible. Correct. You know, if the hospitals are all in on it, what about the vaccine companies? What about the drug companies? What about the people that are paid off by them? What about the politicians that they own, which is almost all of them?
Correct.
You know, you'd follow the lead. I think my impression is that Tucker would do it, but he's not free to make his own choices.
Yeah, that's I think that's my similar impression. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds great. Well, let's stay in touch, you know, for future developments, and we'll keep telling people, and hopefully everybody will want to immediately support you and, become aware of the implications in their own life too.
This has been really nice to get to know you, and you're a wonderful host, and you know, just this whole way of this style of that you have of interviewing has been a real gift. So thank you for that.
I just want to make it like we're sitting around in one of our living rooms, you know, and realistic, not artificial feeling. And that's not an artificial realistic. That's how I feel. You know, we're talking between family members. Yeah. Well, we mentioned before, it's really true. I mean, we're supposed to believe this myth that we're all separated, but on a deeper level, we are family members that may not know each other yet in this lifetime. And on a deeper level than that, there's just one being that's behind the scenes in all of us.
That's right.
Right. So it's like getting to see you again. It's a pleasure. So
thank you for having me, Richard.
Okay. And we'll share the links and files and stuff in case you want to use them later.
Very good. All right. Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you later, Scott.
All right. Bye.
See you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Amazing, 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 amazing.